Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Old Testament provides a goldmine of storylines for modern fiction writers, and one of them is local. Let's go in-depth with Kathleen Evenhouse, author of Less Than a Widow, a fictionalized story about the biblical Ruth, from Pella. So Kathleen, you have a new book out, Less Than a Widow. Can you give us a little bit of information about it?
Well, Less Than a Widow is a clue about what it is. First, I'll tell you, it's from the biblical story of Ruth and Boaz. And that's four chapters, but this is a 250-page book. Less Than a Widow means that when you're in a patriarchal society and you're a widow, you have no voice. But when you're a childless widow, you're in the way. You're taking up somebody else's food and place, and they'd rather you just disappeared. In some societies, they kick you out and you live on the streets. That's still happening in India today, I know for sure.
Okay, and so this takes place during biblical times.
Yeah, 3,000 years ago. It comes between the story of Joseph being sold as a slave into Egypt and Moses bringing the slaves out of Egypt back to the promised land. So this story takes place closer to Joseph, in between those two stories.
And it's the story of Ruth.
It's the story of Ruth, who was a Moabite, and Elimelech and Naomi move to Moab to escape a famine that's happening in Bethlehem. And their son eventually marries Ruth. The son dies, the father dies, the other son dies, and Ruth and Naomi make their way back to Bethlehem because Naomi just wants to die, and she wants to die in her home country.
Okay, so what does the average person know about Ruth, and why might they be interested in hearing more about her story?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. I wrote it as historical fiction. So we're dealing with, in this world today, which is a lot smaller, there are still a lot of patriarchal societies. And there's not that much of a change. For example, I just watched a movie, Bliss, on Netflix, and it's about the Turkish society today, and it's a patriarchal society, and women really have no say. This is still happening today. So in a way, it helps you to understand that society. That's one of the things, and we call for women's empowerment to help. The other thing is, if you are familiar at all with the Bible and you heard this story, you probably thought, well, it's like a Disney romance, a Disney story, and it's the beautiful young woman who's really wonderful, but she has a hard life, and then the prince discovers her and rescues her, and it's just this wonderful love story. And I would like to say, no, it's not a love story. There is love in the story. There's a lot of love in the story, but it's not necessarily romantic love. And there is rescuing, but Ruth is one of the people who does some rescuing. She does some rescuing of her mother-in-law. She tries to keep her alive and get her out of her depression. And she challenges society. Even though she is an immigrant, and she's a hated immigrant because they've been enemies for a long time.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Kathleen Evenhouse, author of Less Than a Widow. How closely do you hear to what we know about the biblical Ruth, and then how do you elaborate on that, I presume?
Oh, yes, I do. Basically, Ruth is written, and it's my outline. I do not deviate at all from the biblical outline. But when you have Elimelech and Naomi moving to Moab, and they let their sons marry a Moabite why in the world would they do that? There were other Jews in the area. It was a big no-no. So why did that happen? How did that happen? How did they come to know her? So that story is not in the Bible. That story I have to create. And people have created all different ways. This is my creation. Then there's, you just fill in the blanks. Why would Naomi choose to go back to Bethlehem? And why would Ruth say at that point, when for her to go to Bethlehem is sure death, why would she say, no, I'm going to go with you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And I will die and be buried with you. Why does she say that? What brings her from that point? So there's all kinds of instances. Why did Boaz, who's really kind of like the Kennedy family, he's a prince of the Israelites and wealthy, and she's working in his field, and she's an immigrant and has a big mouth, and you know, and why would he listen? And why would he not only listen, but support what she has to say? And so it's just a story of how do women get through and how do men that support them in a society where that just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. There's two more interludes in here, short interludes told in the first person by Tamar, who that comes out of the Joseph story. Joseph's brother Judah is one of the brothers who sold him into slavery. He leaves the family. His son marries Tamar. There's a story there, and one of the laws that Ruth has to deal with happens in that Tamar story. And that's called the law of Jibum, where if a son dies without an heir, the brother is supposed to marry his brother's widow and produce an heir for his brother. This is a law to keep a line going when in a patriarchal society, keep the line going. That's one of the laws. So it was important to get that story out there and get that law understood. And the other story that's in there as a first person relating is Rahab, who was in the city of Jericho. And she was a prostitute, and that was how she ran her business. And she helped the Israelite spies and help them escape back out of the city. And when the city of Jericho was destroyed, they rescued her and all of her family who she had with her. And that happened to be Boaz's mother. So,
well, this is...
it's complicated.
It's complicated. This is complicated. It's like, I don't know, mm-hmm. I want to say like almost like a soap opera.
Oh, yes, it is. Much of the Old Testament seems to be like a soap opera. And how can we understand it? And when we don't understand these strange laws, strange to us laws, how do we understand what this is all about? Which is why so many of us read, if we read the Book of Ruth, we think, oh, this is just a little nice little Disney love story in the Bible. But actually, Romans 15, verse 4 says, all of these things from the past were written for your instruction, so that you may find perseverance and get encouragement from the stories that were written. And so, therefore, that you may find hope. And so, if it's written for that purpose, I should read into it a little deeper. And that's originally why I started going deeper into this story, and I got so fascinated, I wanted other people to go deeper also.
And so you're interpreting it for us.
Yes, it's my interpretation based on a lot of research, and there's so many different interpretations out there. And I went to a lot of Jewish interpretations and Jewish rabbi interpretations, ancient and modern, and some of them were really stretching it based on some modern takes. I went to a lot of Protestant and Catholic theologians and read all their work. I went to archaeologists. I went to the history that was written. You do a lot of research because it's a historical novel, and that's the way it's written. It's not written as religious fiction. It's written at a novel that tells you the history of the times and brings you back into that so you can understand it.
Sometimes you can just read history, but when you fictionalize it, elaborate upon it, mm-hmm. it's much more interesting. You still get the lessons, but in a more interesting way.
When I was in grade school, there was books called the We Were There books. They were introduced in the 50s and 60s. And my favorite was We Were There with Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys. And so when we were studying the Revolution, I read that book and I just got totally fired up. It was a good book. I thought, why don't they write history books like this? Because I understand the history. I remember the chronology. I remember the dates. For a person like me who is really on the creative side, I don't have a really strong timeline side. So dates for me can be difficult to remember. This just put it in a story, and so it's all there. All I have to do is think about the story, and I've got everything there.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Kathleen Evenhouse, author of Less Than a Widow. Well, what's been the reaction to this book?
I've had a lot of people pre-read it. I've had a lot of people read just parts of it. There's been a lot of enthusiasm for it. One of the editors who read the first 9 chapters when the publisher first agreed to publish this book, she read those first 9 chapters. She is not a Christian, was not at all familiar with the Book of Ruth or any of the Christian concepts to it. So she came to it with basically a clean slate. And she was encouraged to go find out more. She wanted to find out why would I think there was any empowerment happening here in this story for women. She wanted to know who was this person, what stage and age did she live in, what was life like then. So, and she enjoyed it. I'm thinking that people will really find it. You can read it so many different ways. You can read it as a really fast-moving, quick novel, because that's what it is. If you want to go deeper into it, you can do some of your own research and your own thinking and saying, no, I don't think it was really this way. I think it would have been this way. I also have a discussion guide that's a free download on my website, and it has 8 different issues and some questions, and it also has some history and some pictures that help you to understand.
And it's just hot off the press, right?
Hot off the press. It was delivered to Pella last week, Thursday. It was on the press, put on the press a week before that.
And you're still getting it all set up to be in local stores.
Yes, that's what I'm working on. I have a jaunt to California to see my 90-year-old mother and let her host a book signing event at her retirement village in California. And then I'm coming back and hitting all the area stores and see who I can have carry it. Smoky Row is where I wrote, they say, at least half of the book. Mm-hmm. I'm a regular there. I have 2 booths that I prefer.
One's with power outlets.
Yes, with power outlets. And one's with a little bit of sunshine, because I like sunshine. And so they're hosting a caffeinated writing event on November 20 from 5 to 7:30. It's just going to be to come in and see the book. I'll sign a book if you want to purchase one. I'll have the book trailer running so you can watch that. I'll have examples of the discussion guides, and I'll be drinking coffee.
And what's next for you?
After I get the marketing really going, I'm doing some speaking engagements. I have some of those lined up. And after that gets going, I have 2 different ideas, and they're both from the Old Testament, that I'm still playing with, praying about. Both of them have some really unknown things that happened. And yesterday, someone introduced me to another story that I thought, oh, man, this one is Jephthah, who was the son of a prostitute. And when the mother, his father also had a wife who had many sons. And when the father died, they kicked Jephthah out. But yet, he was a great warrior, and he went out and lived in the wilderness, and a bunch of men gathered around him, much like King David's story. And then when they needed protection, they called him back. And his journey, how did that feel? Being kicked out, and why did he come back?
Well, so you'll figure it out.
You know, if you go to the Old Testament, look at all those stories. There are so many stories there that are just fantastic and that are like soap operas and that you have clues. And my thought is that the outline that's written there, the story that's written there, has the important points in it that you need to know. What I have to figure out is, how do they get from A to B and B to C? Because I know A, B, C, D, E, F is written there. I just get to fill in the blanks. But to do that, I have to know all the backstories of all, when you're going in this, you have to go back centuries. And the lineage of the people is very important. So it takes a lot of research.
Thanks to Kathleen Evenhouse for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.